Well, welcome everybody. It's the Dr. Hank Show, and today we just have a very special, really miraculous guest story and a time to celebrate. And it's celebrating for Deborah Crystal her 8th year of sobriety. Yay! And what I call 8 years of good health and allowing God to just flow with her to miraculous and wonderful things. So, Deborah, first of all, welcome. Thank you so much for being on today. Oh,
Thank you
I
for
can't
having
hear.
me.
Yeah, there you go.
Can you hear me? Okay. Thank you for having me. You know, it's always a I can never say no when somebody asks me to share my story.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And for those of you that maybe don't know that, Deborah and I actually wrote a book called The Crystal Princess. Again, Deborah Crystal and the Crystal Princess. And it says the true story on how a lost girl became a princess. And that's so beautiful. And so, congratulations on 8 years that a lot of people, a lot of us have been through the depths of hell and with alcohol and drugs and whatever food disorders. And you made it out, and now you're walking on the stairway to heaven and living the dream. So do you want to share with us again, maybe to celebrate 8 years in sobriety of good health? And what would you like to share that will be helpful to those that want encouragement to know they can do this too?
Yeah, and that's thank you, Dr. Hank, and that's my main purpose, you know, of showing up. I want you to know that, you know, you can do it too, just like I am here today, because I would never have believed anybody if they told me 8, 10, you know, 15 years ago that I'd be sitting on this chair right now with even a day of sobriety underneath my belt. I would have been like, whoa, like, are you sure? Do you know who you're talking to? So just sitting here feels so exciting, and it feels courageous, you know, and I think courage is really to tell your story with your whole heart. And I can't thank God enough, you know, for showing me the way out of this dark hole. You know, I was stuck and I was stuck, and it was draining my soul, my living soul, out of me. I did not, you know, and to show up here today, you know, with a soul that is, you know, seen the light, you know, not the dark, you know, seen the darkness, but has turned its way and is just leading into this light that's on the other side. It's just I had a voice in my head. And I'll get into that voice. You were going to say something, Dr. Hank?
It's amazing, and the courage that you have in this, that you know you're the light now and you turned away from the darkness to the light. Just how beautiful that is, and gives me God bumps all over. And it really, you know, and to understand for everyone, all of us, that, you know, like you said, you know, years ago, anybody to say even one day be sober or whatever was, you know, out of the question. And so miracles happened for you. And so how did all that happen? What are the miracles? Can we expect miracles?
Absolutely. We're all in trials. We're all going through things daily. Trust me, I still do. You know, just because I'm not picking up drinking or doing drugs or whatever else I was doing, doesn't mean that I am, you know, it's all sunshine and rainbows every single day. And I'm not going to get, you know, stuck in the darkness. But now I know I have it within me, and it's always been within me to, you know, get out. We create our own darkness sometimes, not even knowing it. And I had a voice in my head ever since I was a kid. God knows, I don't know if I came out of the womb like this or, you know, but my mind was always racing, and it was always thinking, you know, you're no good, or, you know, why? Just horrible thoughts, right? Not always, but they would come more than I would like. And then, especially when I went into high school, it just continue not just my voice, but other people. I got picked on a lot, went into from private school to public school, and people weren't very nice. It was really, for me, it was horrifying. I have some really, really bad experiences, which I don't really need to get into, but it was that really triggered a lot more of that voice in my head. And that voice in my head got me to do things that I mean, I didn't even know you could do these things, because it was so extreme. It was so to the point of like, why? Like, why are you doing this? And people would say that to me. Why? Why you? And people might be asking you're trying to get on your path, why? Right? Why are you not just like boom, 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 let's fix you? Why are you doing this to us, right? Or you could be so much more. And none of that helped. It was me. I had to be able to tell myself that I could do so much more. So now, having 8 years of sobriety, about 8 years ago, I was reborn. It was a whole new birth of my
Wow.
life that. And I've lived more in these past 8 years than I have in, the 20 years prior. I got sober. I was about 36 years old, right? And now I'm 41. And that period of time, even though I went through things, right? And even though I was getting to learn to know myself, on that time and improving, through that, it's just between that period, I've done more than a lifetimes, I believe. I mean, I talk to people these days and they haven't done all these things. And it's because, I made a decision 8 years ago to surrender. And surrendering from a lot of things. At that time, I did not even know I made a decision. I was, the last straw for me was in towards like the end of 2015. I was living in a household. I don't even know if you call it that. And I'm not pointing my finger to anybody when I share about this, or nobody is to blame, right, for this. But just want to make that clear. But I was living in their house, and it was just a hot mess. I was already a hot mess. I've had like two DUIs under my belt, and I within 5 years, which in Florida is a really big deal. And I was given a choice, kind of before I go into where I was going a little over 8 years ago, but before I was given a choice, like. For example, when you get two DUIs within 5 years in Florida, you either go to jail or you can do like a treatment, go into treatment, right? And I had a lawyer and all that who said, hey, you can do one of two things, go to jail for 10 days, or you can go to like a treatment or rehab facility. And I'm like, oh, I'm fine. Like, I don't need to go to a treatment facility. What? So I chose jail. And then it was during that time leading up to all of that, I discovered way more drugs than I'm proud of. It got out of control. The things that I was doing, the voices, I mean, I started hearing voices. Like, I would be, in a room, like, 'cause I'd always want to be by myself, so I'd convince everybody that's best that I'm alone. But that was because I wanted to be with my drugs and alcohol and live my life, and be able to do whatever I want. And it just got out of control that I was literally like hearing things, and I was like, no, this is just a weird neighborhood. Like, it's not me, right? It was never me. But it got disgusting. It got, gross for the things that I was doing and the people I were pursuing and the people that were firing me all the time, you know. I did not know what else was out there for me. That voice was so loud that I thought I was all those things, and it said, just drink more, you know, just do more drugs.
Yeah. And just to have clarity on this, that you're not alone, that we all have 60,000 thoughts a day. So your mind was flooded with these thoughts since a child. This is how we are. We have all these thoughts. And 80% of those thoughts for most people are unwanted. And the more we allow the unwanted voice, the devil, if you will, to speak up, that the more it will control us. And so you probably were at 99% of your thoughts were by the devil, what we call the committee. And the good news is that we can overcome the committee, and you're a testament to that because you decided not to listen to that. And, you know, in your book on that you know, you literally were in an emergency room where your heart stopped. I mean, this is how the devil is there for the demise of you. And it's just this, it's not a real thing. It's actually fear. It's false evidence appearing real. And what you did with that acronym of fear, false evidence appearing real, that you faced everything and rose. And so for others to realize that if Deborah can do it, if I can do it, you can do it. So that's beautiful. And so you were in the depths of hell, and you know, we already have a glimpse of it. And again, the committee talking, what I call the drunken monkey too. In fact, what drinking does, and for those of you that are drinking, that probably you think you don't have a problem or whatever, that you know, alcohol in fact is poison, literally kills your brain cells, is unhealthy for you. And that when you stop and stop listening to the committee, oh, it's okay, or oh, I need to have a break, or you know, I need some relief, whatever, that when you move out of that and you realize, hey, I'm just going to stop. And when you stop, now the miracles start coming and God starts entering into your life. So tell us about how did the miracles, how did the angels come in to help you, Deborah?
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. And there's so many. And I didn't see it at the time, right? Of course. I was living in such darkness. I didn't even know there was light at the end at all. But I think part of me knew. Part of me knew like there was something else if I opened that door. And so I think that's what kept me, that little knowledge. I was in a relationship. That's what you call it, with a guy who was probably twice my age. Just a was not a healthy relationship. I would never have chose that relationship sober. But most of them I wouldn't have either. But anyways, I was, you know, dating him or whatever. Basically, he was just paying for everything. So for me, because I had nothing, you know, I was about to be homeless. There was a warrant out for my arrest. And I, in order to get out of that, I had to pay my court fees, which I guess were outstanding. And I had to do a few other things, you know, in terms of the law. For that, I did not want to go back to jail. Those 10 days that I chose to go were a nightmare, you know. It was crazy, the things I saw there, and they had me detox in there. They were horrible, just weird, you know, things. I just don't want to go back. So I was like, I'll do whatever I can to not go back there. Maybe that's why I had to go there in the first place. To like, no, don't go there. I was so desperate, and I knew my parents have always wondered what was going on, you know, with me. And they tried getting me help. I did the detox thing before because somebody told me to, not because I wanted to. And after I got out, it got way worse, like way worse. It could even get worse. It got, yeah, it wasn't good. So But they always, wanted me to go, and I knew that if I made that decision, to go, then maybe they would, help me out financially so I don't have to go, back. And they did. They did. And I'm thankful for that. And then once they did that, the warrant was lifted. And I remember going to court seeing that, but I was still, a mess. I still, I didn't even really know what was happening. I think I was just so, wasn't feeling anything. I was just kind of going through the motions, knowing, oh, wow, I'm in court. Like, this is normal, an everyday thing. And so I was looking up treatment centers, to go to because I said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go. I didn't think anything of it. Obviously, by the way I packed like bathing suits, like lingerie, like workout outfits. Like, I was going to some like resort. No. Nothing like that. But I am grateful. I chose a place called the Behavioral Health of Palm Beaches in Palm Beach, Florida. And my boyfriend at the time drove me there. And it was March 5th of 2016. I drank a bottle of NyQuil on the way, so I wasn't sober that day. That's why my sobriety date is March 6th. Of 2016. I have it tattooed on me because never forget it, with fire around it. It's pretty cool. The guy did a good job. But I think it's only two tattoo that I got like sober. The rest, I have no idea why I would have ever got that. But anyways, things we do. So the guy drove me there, and they were just like already putting me, hooking me up to things. I was not well. Once they started, tapering me off or cold turkey off everything, I couldn't walk. They forced me to go in a wheelchair. The person that, the personal trainer, running all the time, really into fitness, was on a wheelchair. Nothing worked. My whole body was shutting down. And I don't remember too much, but I remember them wanting saying, like, you can't make it here. I don't think we have enough care for you, here. And I was just kind of, I was still very numb to everything at the time. I was in a lot of pain. Withdrawal is scary, but trust me, if you get through it, you can get through anything. It is scary. Then I had a baby and don't know what's scarier. So, having the baby come out and all of that, but it is painful withdrawal, and a lot of people don't make it through that. And so people bringing in, drugs, getting kicked out, it is hard. But if you, but something helped me through it, right? Something did. And I did, I got through it. I got off that wheelchair. Finally, like, things started working, in my body again. I was still in a lot of pain. I was still very anxious. I still had no idea, what was ahead of me, of this life. I didn't know how to live, right? I had no idea, how to do a lot of things. So it took that upon bravery, and some faith, right? At that time when I was in that behavioral program, and I said, I'm an alcoholic, I'm an addict. I think I felt it for once. Like, I actually, believed myself. And I prayed every single day to God and got on my knees and every morning. And that's because that's what I was told to do. I wanted to follow it by a T. I did not want to go back there. I was told to get down on my knees and pray to God or leave something under the bed to make sure that it's important. I'm going to need it in the morning to remind me to get down on my knees. Of course, I did that. I did whatever was said. And I had no idea how much this whole program was costing me. I had no idea. It's like, oh my God, like, if that's going to be another thing I'm going to have to deal with when I get out of here. But no, didn't cost me anything. Surprise, surprise. This really amazing treatment center, because my insurance or something, covered it. And that was another miracle in itself. So I was meant to be there.
So just really amazing, and to help people know that you can I made some notes here, and just know that there's a door that can be open for you, and it's the door of God, the door of light that can be open for you. And so just because of time, and but this is kind of like where you were, then how did you get out then? What are the miracles that, and you already shared, some of them, that you have this guy that did drive you there, and you did go into this place, and somehow it was paid for by insurance, and you probably didn't even know you had insurance. And so kind of where, how did it go then to get to where you are right now, and to be have everybody understand where you are? You're one of the leaders of a billion-dollar company, that you just had an all-expense-paid vacation. You were basically told you couldn't have children. You have two beautiful, girls, that you're living your dream. You're living it back in Florida now. You have your dream home. I mean, that's what the end of that is. But can you talk to us a little about how this created superpowers for you, and what you went through, and why this was always actually a blessing, because it did create those superpowers to have the life that you now have?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll share, a little story that I heard once, and this is very accurate. And it's saying two men are lost, like in the woods, like they're completely, lost in the woods, and did not know, their way back, at all. Like they had no idea where they were. One of them was an addict, and one, was not an addict. It's the addict that would make it back. They would make it back home. Somehow they would find their way. And that is so true. Whether it was when in those dark days I would find my way to, get a pick up a drug or do whatever I needed to do that. But on the other side of things, I knew that I had that within me to always find my way through the hard times, through the struggles, through the not knowing, through the, how's this going to be? Is this really, how am I going to live my life without, drugs and alcohol? Like through all of that, I had to figure it out. And doing that and the figuring it all out, I couldn't quit. Nothing could stop me. Nobody, what they said, there's a stigma, around addiction, there. But I couldn't let that stigma, or what people would think about me, stop me. And so I kept going through the maze. I listened to my sponsor in AA. I needed her at that time. I needed AA for a little while to connect with people. And I needed them to help me to get my wings, to open up, because I was already flying. I already knew I had the wings because I would not have been there if I didn't. But I needed some other, that light energy along the way to continue that. And I learned to trust that. So I had to trust other people that had what I wanted. I had to trust other people to say that you're having a spiritual experience, and that's the way out is through the spiritual. I had to trust that I had to have a deeper relationship with my creator. And then as I began to trust that journey, I was only looking one way. There was no way back. I was only going forward, and it's that tenacity, that kept me going. It's a desire to, hustle my way through with anything that I do. And it was my desire, to really to lead with heart. It was my desire to be, love and on my way, be like those people that helped me, right? They weren't getting compensated for it. They were helping me, from their heart. And it taught me that. It taught me to really, lead with my heart and lead, So, and now that's exactly what I'm doing. I've been doing something 5 years consistent to the T, right? I have been hustling, if you want to call that, or leading with inspired action, and doing that. Thank you, Dr. Hank, and for that word, inspired action. And I have been doing that, and I do it consistently, daily. It's a daily, reprieve, if you call that in AA, but it's a daily doing. And every day, I thank my higher power, I thank God, for this life, because he didn't have to give it to me. After everything, I thought I wasn't even meant to be forgiven from all the bad things that I did. I
Yeah.
thought, wow, I was my sins, I was defined by them. But that's not the case, because I think sins means that it's something you're not in alignment with your soul.
Yeah.
That's when you're sinning. And
Beautiful.
I was not, but now I am, right?
Yeah.
I'm not letting that define me, and that voice that every once in a while does appear. I'm not gonna let it win, right? Because that's what being an addict taught me. That's what that journey, that grind, exhaustion of being up for weeks, just trying to live, trying to, not feel the feels, right? Just trying to fake it till you make it, for so long. And now just putting all that, just going forward. And people always said, even my aunt said, I mean, you're tiny, but you're made of something. Like, there's something big, there's a giant within you.
Yeah.
And we all have those giants, within us. We've just got to be talking to the giant, and not that
Yeah.
little tiny voice,
Yeah.
and choose that path, make a decision. I made a decision to get sober. I
Yeah.
didn't really know I was making that decision, but I knew I wanted something different. I wanted what was ever down that door, because this was getting too dark, too filthy, and it just became unbearable. So
Yeah.
I chose that door. So that's what you got to do. And anything you want to add on that, Dr. Hank?
Yeah, well, that this word sin, it actually is an archery term back in Christ's time that meant you were simply off target. And so your sin, God never has looked upon any of us, any of you, in a bad way, that everything is playing out perfectly. And that, like you said, that because of all of this, you got these superpowers, this tenacity, this ability to go out and as you call it, hustle. I think that's kind of cute, And yeah, this desire, this burning desire to go out, and like you said, you're never gonna look back. It's that, hey, I'm just going forward from here on out. And when I do, and when I walk with God, then the doors open, the heavens part, and give us everything that we want. So no, for any of you that think that you have done such a sin that God won't forgive you, that you God never thought of it as an unforgiven at all. God saw it as a blessing that can take you to the place that you were meant to be. And you were meant to be happy and free and to live the abundant life that Deborah now lives. So beautiful, Deborah. So beautiful.
Thank
Good. Yeah. And so, just that last thing, your trust in God, lead with heart, be love. There's a giant within us. All you have to do is ask. And ask for that giant. So that is so beautiful. And any ex other experience, inspiring things that you think might be helpful for us, for those that maybe are in the valley, and how to help them to move out of that valley, Deborah, like you did.
Yeah, absolutely. When I before I got onto this call and wanted to share, I did ask to have the right words, the words that move people, I guess, or that people, can relate to. And but I hope that, in listening to my story, you found that, maybe there's another way that you can look at things in your life. And I really hope, I mean, that is my desire, is to make an impact and help people. Just like I do every single day in my business, I want to do it, outside of that and really help people, because, you can't learn this stuff in a textbook, right? You need to talk to somebody. And that darkness, made me want to always be the light. And no matter who you are or what you're going through, I always can see myself in you, because, this life that I have today was just so divinely, kind of handed to me. Having a family that, I have two girls, a 3-year-old and a 9-month-old. I was told I could never have children. I'm 41. I had them late in life. Right, but doesn't matter. What's that even mean? Right. So it's just to show you, like, you can start over anytime. You just have to make a decision, and you have to, that's your, it's a choice. So, make that choice, because it can lead to so many miracles that you never anticipated. I was happy just having an amazing boyfriend, with Nick, who's now my husband. I was happy he was my boyfriend, and he wanted to be a part of my life, and I attracted somebody like him, into my life, and I kept reminding him, like, hey, I'm gonna have to blow in that thing, in the car when we're driving, is that okay with you? Right? Like, in the beginning, I thought, like, are you serious? Knowing my story, knowing this, but no. Your story is what makes you, who you are. And so, regardless of whoever you have to tell or whenever you have to make that decision, you're doing it for you. And people love that. People can feel that, because that's what the world needs. And I'm just so grateful that, I made the decision, and I met people like Dr. Hank on my way, and Martha, Michelle, and others that are watching with us, because you all inspire me. And I am just look around, and all I see is miracles. And I can look outside, and I see palm trees, a whole row of them, like leading me down that door that I chose. So thank you so much, I mean, Dr. Hank, for having me, and really appreciate this time together. And if anybody has questions, I'm happy to answer.
Good. Does anybody have any questions? Comments? What did you like best? That this idea, even that, so the committee will come in and say, oh well, my liver is shot, the doctors say, or whatever. And we honor everybody that, but you need to honor God most. And so you don't have to listen to what other people say, that you just need to listen to God, that literally our livers get like redone every like 4 months. 99% of our bodies are different bodies within a year, that we have millions of cells dying every moment. And Michelle says your story is so inspiring, and that she's at work right now, but wanted to hear this, and that we literally everything gets renewed, and so it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what you've done, that there are miracles waiting for all of us and all of you. And specifically, you who we're touching right now, your heart, and that there is nothing against you. There's nothing working against you. There is everything for you. And there is this divine, we can't see it, but we can feel it. And there's this divine loving energy, God, our angels, our archangels, that they're all there to love you, to support you, to guide you to your lighted path. And we all have our lighted path, and we can all have it. And it's just all a matter, like Deborah said, is just choose. This is the path now. This is the direction I want to go. And we will give you all the support, all the love, everything that you need. And you will start having miracles happening in your life like they happen with Deborah Crystal.
I actually have a question.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Martha.
So I wonder, Deborah, advice to a person who has a family member who is a substance abuser. My brother has been for most of our adult life, and it's gotten to the point where I don't want to use the word give up, but I'm really exhausted. Your story resonated because he has gone through the DUI. He's done been in jail, and I forced him to go into rehab, and it was really hard because he I felt there was some resentment on his part towards me, to the point where, he's telling me like I was mothering him too much. At one point, when you said people would ask you, why are you doing this to us? Especially now, we have my mom was 87, the stress that it's causing us. And there's really no answer. So I'm trying to detach because it has to be him. And feeling the resentment, at one point he did tell me, I didn't ask you for your help. That was a stab in, but I still love him as my brother. I'm doing this because I feel like I'm just what I'm supposed to do. But for my mental health, I'm trying to detach. What advice would you have for me?
Yes. Well, thank you so much, for sharing that, about your brother. And obviously, I mean, you love him so much and, you want the best for him. And there are programs too, like as well, like besides AA and NA, they have what's it called?
I'm
I'm sorry.
sorry. I've tried to get him
But
to
for even you to go, they have one for the people that have been impacted, by somebody else, family member. And it's another great support group that they do have available. It's free. And it's something else. And one time I went just to learn what other people were saying, about that. But yeah, Al-Anon. Thank you, Michelle. It was on the tip of my tongue. I wouldn't, you gotta pray, obviously pray for him, but and do your best. But it's when unfortunately, it's when you get things taken away, when there's not that enabling, when there's not that, oh my God, I'm gonna, take you to detox. I'm gonna drive you everywhere. You can live here. It's that toughness. Like I needed to hit rock bottom myself, and I might have hit it a few times, but I really needed to hit it hard, myself personally, to make that connection, to ask for help, to ask God to, get on my knees. I had to be knocked down, to get down on my knees so many times. So you can love him. Obviously continue loving him and praying for him. But I believe like he has to make the decision, and you want to get on with your own life, girl. And you're not being mean. It's his disease. It's not him. He's being that voice has taken over, and it's not the one we want. And he's in a dark place. But don't go down there with him. It is a family disease, but I would, distance.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And if I can, that was, that Martha, we're all on our own path. We're all the creators of our own experience. And so even our committees are judging, like, oh, this is too bad. But see, if I would have seen Deborah 9 years ago, I would have thought, oh, that's too bad. But it actually led to this magical moment right now, right here and right now, where we're able to see Deborah is alive and well and thriving. And because of her thriving, it influences other people to then thrive. As I thrive, so the world thrives. And so for you, Martha, to, and again, we've been taught this from other committee members. They meant well, but oh, you got to take care of them, and you got to, in essence, enable them. And that it's not your job. Your job is not to fix the world or other people. It doesn't need fixing, even though our committees say, oh, my brother needs fixing, that your brother is experiencing on his path. And whenever he transitions, and all of us, whenever we transition back into the non-physical, that we'll see our life as being perfect and not have these judgments. So when you can let it go and realize that all is well, even though, again, you're looking at your committee and saying it's not very well, but look at what has happened. He just gets resentful. He doesn't want your help. He says he didn't ask for your help. And that, and I love what Deborah said there about that he's on his own path. And for Deborah, she hit rock bottom. And that's where she needed to be. And your brother needs whatever, and he's doing it. But if anything, look at the blessing. Everything's a blessing. And this can help you now rise above your committee, send him love and well-being, and now move forward with your life, because as you thrive, so the world will thrive, everyone around you, which means you'll actually impact your brother as well. Whether or not he changes your committee, makes judgments on, oh, he's supposed to be doing this, that, just leave all that alone. And you're here to create. And to create more freedom and more joy for yourself. So don't be locked in a cage because of your brother. That unlock that cage, release that, release him, and know that all is well. And that again, if you don't thrive, then people around you don't thrive. And so, and one specific person that you can really help thrive is your mother. That she's stressed, stress kills. Number one killer is heart disease. It comes from stress. And so this is all just fear, false evidence appearing real. And so to realize that you rise above this now, and that this will now take you to blessings. So you didn't have to hit rock bottom. You just needed to hear this to realize that, hey, everything's okay. And my business is for me to thrive, for me to seek more freedom, more joy. And as I do, everybody else around me will be even better off. Amen.
Oh, man, very powerful. Thank you both.
Yeah, thank you, Martha. Well, with that, we thank you for attending. If you want to contact directly Deborah or myself, if we can help you in any way, that we have the Crystal Princess. It's actually in the live audio version, which is really perfect. And you can really hear the emotions behind it, that we have that available for you. So reach out to us, that we want to help you, and we want to take you to the mountaintop, just like Deborah is. And with that, Deborah, any last words?
Thank you. Thank you for having me
Thank
here. And
you.
it's been a blast. I've enjoyed it always with you, Dr. Hank. And thanks for everybody that plugged in. And love you. Love
Yeah.
everybody. And but I'm here seriously if you need me. And I will keep everybody in my prayers. And yeah, I'm excited for the
Yeah.
rest of the day. So thank you. Thanks,
Yeah.
Dirk.
And so we love you all, and know that all is well and getting better. Rise above and go to the mountaintop with us. We love you. Bye bye.
Bye.